Well, as I mentioned to you, Tammy and I had the opportunity to go out and spend the last week out in Parker, Colorado with the Berean Fellowship. And one of the blessings that we had while we were out there is we got to meet many of the church planters that are planting churches around the country. And as we interacted with this, with these men, and not only with that, but with David Kaufman, who happens to be the director of international and national church planting for the fellowship, it was very encouraging to me to hear their heart for the gospel, their passion to plant the gospel where they are, and their passion to declare and to display the gospel. And it was warming to me, but I have to tell you, it did bring back some memories because most of you probably know that I have a church planting background. That Tammy and I went to seminary out in Portland, Oregon, and when we graduated and took some time to discern what the Lord was going to do with us, it was my conviction that the Lord wanted us to plant a church. And so we set out to plant a church in Portland. And what I'm reminded of is the attitude that I had as I went into that church plant. And, you know, I say this understanding that, you know, God is so gracious to me in bringing me along in my faith. And I hope that you can find encouragement in your own life in listening to others' stories to know that God doesn't abandon you even when you're really not where He wants you to be. And I'll confess, when we took off in this church planting movement or this work, my heart was not where it was to be. Now, and it's not to say that I didn't want to be in service to my Lord. I did. I was desiring very much to serve Him. And I wanted my service to be acceptable to Him. And I thought I was. And it's only sometimes in retrospect that you look back and you go, wow, that really was terribly wrong. Now, not to say that I didn't have people coming to me at the time. In fact, I had a very good friend of mine that met me for breakfast one morning and really challenged my heart condition and my attitude as we were planting this church. And you see, one of the things that I believed was that, and you know what, I'm just being vulnerable with you guys, and you're going to have to accept me for who I am. But I tell you, one of the things I really believed is that with the force of my personality, my charisma, with my ability to speak and communicate well, my energy and all of that, that we would be successful. There was a big part of me that really believed that just, you know, some of these other movements, that, you know, they fall short because they don't, well, frankly, they don't have me. And I praise God that He broke me. I rejoice in Him bringing that ministry to a crashing, utter failure. Because it was all about me. And though I wanted my service to be acceptable to Him, I really didn't know Him well enough. I really didn't know about Him in a way that really informed the way that I was then going to go out and serve Him. And I'm going to confess to you, I am still struggling with this. There are still, even now, times when I am so very tempted to begin to believe that because of the force of my personality and because of my charisma and because of this and because of that, that we can make something happen. And I have to tell you, that's not how God operates. He's the one on His throne. This is His church, and it's His work that He's called you to and His plan, and it's all to Him. It's all to Him. And this morning, as we talk about this subject, I want to encourage you to think this through with me, because if our service to God is going to be acceptable to Him, we need to know about the God that we serve. We need to know something about Him that will fundamentally inform how it is that I go about my service to Him and even my giving to Him so that it will be acceptable to Him. How many of you ever taken a new job? Any adult here probably that's ever had a job, you've had a new one, right? And you go into this job, doesn't it help a little bit to know about your employer? Doesn't it help a little bit to know about what it is that your employer expects of you? And when you go in and you take this job and you want to do well at it, you want to excel, but if you don't know anything about the owner of that company, let's say it's a small business and you don't really know anything about that owner, and you go out and you're working hard and you're trying to do whatever, but you're actually working in a way that's displeasing because it just fundamentally is different from what that owner wants from you. I mean, doesn't it just make sense that if I'm going to be in service to someone, that I should know a little bit about that someone that I'm in service to? So I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The letter of Romans to the 11th chapter. Romans chapter 11. Romans is toward the back of your Bible. It's a relatively large letter, so if you go toward the back and kind of flip around, you'll find it. It's right before 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are also large letters, so if you find those, you'll be helped to find Romans. Romans chapter 11. We're primarily going to be looking at verse 36, and then chapter 12 and verse 1. And we're going to unpack a little bit about what it means to serve the Lord here. And I'm going to read for you this section of Scripture that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to go to the Lord and we're going to ask Him to inform our understanding just so that He's in control. Paul writes, beginning at verse 33. Now, I'm sorry I'm doing this to you, because you all just looked down and I said, now, and then you all have to look up again. Let me just give you a little bit of context. I said this earlier in the service, that the book of Romans is kind of like the treatise of the gospel. And what Paul has done from the very beginning of Romans 1:1 all the way up until this point, he's unfolded the gospel. It's taken him that long. Sometimes we distill the gospel down to something very simple. It is a simple message, but it is not simplistic. It is a full and rich and deep truth of this gospel. And that's what he's been doing. He's been unfolding it all to them, and even up to this interaction with the nation of Israel, and trying to explain why it is that God's own chosen nation rejected him. And why you and I assume most of us are Gentiles, why you and I were brought into this body, this why we were grafted into this tree. And it's in this context that he writes this, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now Paul says that amen there because he almost has to conclude this wonderful thing he said with this like exclamation point verbally. Amen. So be it. But then he doesn't stop here because in chapter 12 verse 1 he says, therefore. And he draws a conclusion from this with a passage that I know many of you are very familiar with. But we're going to look at this passage from the context of verse 36. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And this is where we come into this idea of serving acceptably, in that the command for us to enter into this great plan of God, and to therefore, because of who He is, to enter in and to actually take our very lives, our very bodies, and sacrifice them up as a living sacrifice to God. Let's go to Him and pray and ask Him to to guide our understanding this morning. Father, we've already prayed to you, but we want to just acknowledge you again that we need you right now. We need you, Lord, as we unfold your word. We need you, Lord, now as we talk about you and about our service to you. And I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would open up our eyes and convict us and encourage us this morning that we might make our service truly acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we're talking about here is that this is all to him. It's all to him. You probably caught that in that verse 36. It's all to his glory. But in understanding this service that we're going to render to him, if we're going to make it a good service to him, and we talk about knowing about him, in this very simple verse of 36, we find out about him. And first we find out that God is the source of all. God is the source of all. It says, because from him are all things. From him are all things. God is the source of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, in that statement of Genesis 1:1, it includes all things. In the beginning, God created all things. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. And I want you to think for just a moment about the heavens, about the stars. When you look up at the stars and you see them up there, ask yourself next time you see them, what holds them in place? Why don't they fall? Why are they fixed and so fixed that we can navigate by them? Why? God created all things. He created the heavens and the earth by the word of his mouth. He fixed them in their places. He put them there. And we are told in John 1:3, as John is introducing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's introducing Jesus himself. He says, all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God is the source of all. And this has some implications for us. And the first one is this. Your stuff is from him. Your stuff, it's from him. All things are from him. And oh, how we want to take credit for our stuff. In fact, we use our stuff to compare ourselves with other people, do we not? We use our stuff to position ourselves and to make ourselves look like we're something. But your stuff is from him. And how arrogant for us to take what God has given to you, to me, and to act as if it was ours. Act as if this stuff that God has given me belongs to me. And listen, we live in America, right? I assume all of us are from America. Maybe there may be some in here that came from another country originally, but we're here now. We're all part of America. And what is the American ideology here when it comes to stuff? I mean, it's mine, right? In fact, we live in a very conservative part of the country, and I am a recovering conservative. Now, when I say recovering, I don't mean I haven't changed my views here. I'm just saying that I am working through some very distorted ways of thinking about my stuff in relationship, for example, for the government. And sometimes we get so frustrated when the government comes along and they want to take from us, and what is our reaction? But it's mine. I worked hard for that. Oh, brother and sister and friend, is it not possible that in the middle of that attitude that we're forgetting that it's not mine? That stuff that I have is from him. It's from him. Do you see your stuff as belonging to him? And does your stuff make sense in conjunction with who he is? All your stuff is from him. But not only that, your salvation is from him. Now, we talk about this a lot. And this isn't a new thing for you. And I know sometimes we talk about these things. Sometimes Christians go, yeah, I've heard that before. But I have to tell you something. We can say this, and I can say this, but I have to tell you, I struggle with really, truly embracing it, that my salvation is from Him. And we're told this very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, yes. But even that, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God that no one should boast. Not by any works that you've done, not by any good thing you've done. God gave you your salvation. You couldn't give it to yourself. You couldn't redeem yourself. The Bible tells us, even in that context of Ephesians chapter 2, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we were hostile to God in our hearts. And sometimes we think, well, what does that mean? I wasn't hostile to Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never really heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and maybe you're hearing some of this for the first time. You're thinking, I've never been hostile to God. But you know what? When we treat our stuff like it's our own, and when we treat our condition in our relationship with God as if we've done it, we're hostile to Him. We're enemies. We're taking something that doesn't belong to us, and we're spending it as if it does. And do you see how that's a hostility? Do you see how that would create? Imagine if you gave something to someone for their good and for your use, and they take it and squander it on everything they want. They might think, well, no, I'm not being hostile toward you. Oh, but you are. And it's in that position of hostility and enmity with God that He initiated a relationship with you. He sent His one and only Son into the world to die for you, to give you salvation. And not only that, but the very faith you have in Him this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that very faith you have is from Him. That's what it says. And that, through faith, and that even is from Him. It's a gift of God. Sometimes we might pat ourselves on the back and say, I believed. Well, let me tell you something, because He goes on to say in that Ephesians passage that there's going to be no boasting. There's no boasting in the Lord. And I came to faith at a very young age. God opened my eyes very young to see the truth of the gospel, convict me of my sin. And I came to faith very young. And there are many I know in here who came to faith at a much older age. And so when we stand in glory one day, will I be able to come to you and say, I don't know what took you so long. I got this thing figured out when I was a little one. What was your problem? Do you think that's the way it'll be? Or do you think we'll all fall at the foot of the throne and say, this is even a gift from even my faith? That was all from you. And if we understand this, it'll help us when we give service to Him, to make that service acceptable, to say, Lord, it's all from You. Never allow yourself to believe that your service is acceptable because of what you bring to the table. Never allow yourself to believe that your service is acceptable to God because of what you bring to the table. Because, oh brother or sister or friend, you don't bring anything to the table that He hasn't given you. In fact, He says that in 1 Corinthians 4:7, and what do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I need to move on. Second thing we need to know about Him is that God is the sustainer of all. Because through Him are all things. Through Him are all things. He is the sustainer, the upholder of all things. God is sustaining you even now. In fact, you're here because of Him. Now, I don't mean to say this morning, you are here physically right now at Cornerstone because of Him, but I want to say more importantly that you're here because of Him. In other words, sometimes if I've had conversations with people and you say, hey, how's it going today? And they say, well, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm alive. Sometimes my response will be, well, yeah, that beats the alternative, doesn't it? I'm here. I am alive because of Him. Thy very breath comes from Him. And I know that there are people in this congregation who have experienced the very reality of the brevity of life, even just this week, in a realization that life can be over in a second were it not for God sustaining you. He is the one who sustains you. You are here alive and well because of Him. We have a blessing that we often say in dismissing people. May the Lord make His face to shine on you. And I want to look at that passage just very quickly, remind you of it in its totality. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. This is that full blessing. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Now, in that blessing, do you not hear the very ongoing, present reality of God's presence in your life? May He keep you. May He bless you. May He be gracious to you. May He give you peace. He is the one who sustains you. You're here because of Him. And any goodness in your life, any productivity in your life is because He is giving you the energy and the strength to do it. You don't accomplish anything because of your own discipline and hard work. God is sustaining you. He is the one. And you'll be there because of Him. You'll be there. And what I mean by there, I mean in eternity. You'll be there in glory. You'll be there worshiping at the throne with the gathered saints in all of eternity. You will be in heaven because of Him. Through Him. There's two ideas I want to just very quickly touch on. Through Him, He is the mediator. We talked about this earlier in this passage in Job, where Jesus Christ, because He is fully God, Jesus the Christ, the God-man, He is fully God, and He is in the flesh, He is fully man. And therefore, as Job cried out, desiring an umpire who would be able to put His hand on both, we have Jesus Christ, who being God Himself can put His hand on His Father, and being man Himself can put His hand on you. And He can stand between us and mediate and umpire between us. It is through Him that you have your salvation. And it is through Him that you'll be there. He will keep you. He alone will keep you. And oh, brother or sister this morning, what incredible peace that should give you. He won't fail you. If you belong to Him, it is by His power, His grace, that He will keep you. So as Steve read that psalm, stop striving and know that He is God. Stop trying to maintain your salvation. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to be misunderstood. I am not saying to you this morning, you just jettison it all and you just go about your business and not think about anything and God will save you. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. If we are children of God, then we will live in imitation of our Father. If He has placed His life within me, then that life is going to manifest itself in the way that I live. But you see, He's the one that's going to keep me there. He's the one that's going to protect me there. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to listen as Peter writes these words. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, in that first passage, did you not catch that He is the source of your salvation? He caused you to be born again. He goes on to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, and here it is, who are protected by the power of God through faith. Who are protected by the power of God through faith. And oh, I don't know of any more comforting words in the middle of my own sin. In the middle of my own failure. In the middle of those times when I know for certain that I have fallen short of God's glory and have done and said things that are wickedness, to come back to this passage and say, oh, but I'm protected by your power. Never allow yourself to believe that the service you render is acceptable because of your discipline or diligence. Never allow yourself to believe that your service is acceptable because of your discipline or your diligence. It is God who sustains you. As we move on, God is the subject of all. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they make a statement and you mishear a key word in that statement, and then you reply and you start talking about something? Oh yeah, yeah. And I've had this happen many times. And I was trying to think of a great example, and I unfortunately my memory is, and even in those moments apparently. But you know, you're having that conversation, they'll say something, and then you go, oh yeah, well I had that, and you're talking along, and all of a sudden you notice they're looking at you very, very strangely. And then they finally said, well, no, I didn't say that. What I said was this. And, oh, completely different subject. Right? Well, God is the subject in this manner of all. It is all about Him. And see, He says this here, because to Him are all things. Unto Him are all things. So He's created all of these things and He's sustaining all of these things, and it is all unto Him. He's the subject of it all. And He is the subject of His program. Now I use that word program because I love my African brothers and sisters. They always talk about the program. In fact, they talk about this service. They don't call it a service, they call it a program. It's the way things to go. It's their plan, right? What's the program for today? So, God is the subject of His program. And there is a program. In fact, if you look back at our passage in Romans chapter 11, we see this program. All the depth, verse 33, all the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. What's He talking about here? His ways. Well, He's been unfolding this program, this gospel message, and He's been saying God has a plan. God has a plan. And He's executing it. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for His nation. He has a plan. And He's executing it. He's carrying it out. Sometimes we're scratching our heads going, Lord, what in the world? I want to say to you, because the other great resource that God has given to you is your money. Your money. You say, oh, Kelly, you've been meddling already, but now you're really meddling. I know this is a sensitive topic, especially for guys. And I can speak from experience because I know that our identity can be wrapped up in our success with respect to money. What we have as a result of money. And this is why we're encouraged in our own hearts to build bigger houses and buy nicer cars and wear nicer clothes and go on better vacations so that we can come back and tell our friends all about it. so that people can drive by and think of us. See, Jesus knew something about this issue. He knew something about money. And that's why he says in Matthew, actually, I'm sorry, he says it in Matthew, but I have Luke 16 or 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There are a handful of things in our lives that have incredible power over us. Sex, power, money. What's the subject of your money? If you were to evaluate your spending, what's the subject? And I know that the world will say, well, you know, churches are always talking about money. Well, first of all, we don't talk about this a lot here, and we probably, frankly, don't talk about it enough at this church. Because this is it's an important issue. So why are you always talking about money? Well, why did Jesus always talk about it? Why did he say to the rich young ruler, you've done all of these things, now go sell all of your possessions and come follow me? Because he knew where our allegiances will often lie. And money is an incredible, powerful, gripping, enslaving force in our lives. In an effort to try to acknowledge that God is the subject of all things and he is the subject of my money, it will require me to loosen my grip on what God has given me. And I can only do that by his grace, and I can only do that by acknowledging first and foremost that he is the source of it all. You don't have it because you earned it, and he is the sustainer of all. You don't keep it because you're keeping it. I've meddled enough. I think that's enough to be processing today. I want to encourage you. You want to make your service acceptable to God, then you need to wrestle with who it is that you're serving. We're going to ask the ushers to come forward as they do. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless this time of worship. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we praise you that you are the creator of all things, Lord. From you are all things. And we want to give you glory, Lord, because you are the sustainer of all things. Through you are all things. And Lord, this morning we want to humbly acknowledge, come before you in brokenness and say, Lord, you're to be the subject of all things. And I pray, Lord, from my own heart that you would encourage me and help me and lift me up to know that you're the subject of my heart. And I pray that you do the same for everyone here, that you would be the subject of our hearts, the subject of our devotions. Father, as we take this offering, may you receive it from us and may we give out of a cheerful heart, knowing that you have given to us all that we have, and most importantly, you've given us life in Jesus. So may you receive this offering from gladness of heart and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. May I ask you to stand? I'm not going to close this morning with a closing song. I'm going to close with an admonition to you to consider deeply what's been said, and with an encouragement to you that maybe you're wrestling with some of what's been. Maybe you've never really heard the gospel explained the way that you have. Maybe you've never thought about that gospel being about God giving to you. And if that's the case, I would strongly encourage you to come talk to me. Talk to someone you know that understands this. Let's work this through. Don't leave this as a subject. And if you're here as a believer this morning, I want to strongly encourage you this morning that God has His hand on you. And you may have been convicted this morning, but it's okay. It's okay. He loves you. He loves you. He is pleased with you. And He's just wanting you to step further into the joy that you can have in serving Him. So see His admonition that way. See His admonition as a blessing to you. So, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He bless you. May He give you peace. May you go. Declare and display the gospel. Have a great day.